All right, so I'm standing here in Fringe Central. I'm here with Nick Edwards, who is the music book and lyricist for the Outback Games, a new musical. And these are based on the 1940 Tokyo Games that never happened. And one athlete decides, well, you know, bugger that, I'm going to put them on anyway.
Exactly.
Nick, we'll first draw you to the story.
It was an idea. I was brought up in rural Australia, and I've been living in the UK for the last 20 years, so I've been kind of very keen to get some of that kind of Australian spirit happening over here. And I thought it was a real story that I think would work really well on the stage, and it goes beyond just the idea about the Olympics. It's so much about community, and especially in this day and age, I think there's so much to be said about people working together in the face of adversity, such as war, drought, at the end of the Depression, everything like that. It was just, everything seemed to come together.
And how does the narrative arc of the story work? I mean, is it simply the, and without giving too much away, is it simply the protagonist saying over a couple of days, or how are we seeing the true life brought together in what, just an hour?
Yeah, it follows a really interesting arc, mainly around the journey of Freckle, the main character, who's a 19-year-old, very promising swimmer. She is so gutted that the games have been cancelled that she wants to organise the Rebel Games, but then she discovers that she's not actually able to compete because the drought dries up the swimming pool. So she hits rock bottom, and then the rest of the story is about her coming round and actually discovering that the real meaning behind it, even though she can't get her kind of individual goal, she discovers that it's more about working together and that there's a bigger picture. So that the whole thing, it kind of takes up a couple of months in between news escaping Switzerland that the games have been cancelled and just before the arrival of the athletes. So we don't know whether the athletes actually come or not.
Interesting. So a little bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or just an excuse for a sequel.
Yeah, I think we've already talked about six or seven off-spins. I think it could be interesting.
And what's the history of the show? This isn't Edinburgh's not its first outing, is it?
Edinburgh is its first outing ever. In fact, we only finished writing it about a day before the preview, despite the fact I started writing it 4 years ago. So it's been a very, very long journey for me and also for the cast and director. And so when we had our first preview last Friday, it was the first time that anyone had seen or heard of it in its kind of entirety, and I'm happy to say that it's gone down a storm so far.
It must be on one level a kind of relief and on another level kind of hard to sort of take the baby and see if it's going to walk.
Yeah, absolutely, because I've been living with it for so long, it's an extraordinary thing, and I've been quite nervous. Even though I don't do anything on the stage or anything like that, I'm kind of really on the edge of my seat before each performance, but by the end of it, there's always something, usually something different, that I just really does, I'm not ashamed to say, bring a tear to my eye. It's something about not only the story and the characters, but also the way that actors just put so much into it that they're obviously right behind the story and they love it. So it's a real kind of, every time I see it, it's an emotional roller coaster for me.
So workshopping it in front of an audience every day, I mean, is this going to be the same show that we see at the start as we see at the end of the Fringe?
No. We've done, the director and I have done so much work on it that we knew the minute we opened for the preview that was fixed, that we were very happy with it. So nothing's changing as we go on.
Okay, so leave the Rotten Tomatoes at home. They're not going to make a difference.
Yeah, so bring them along. But I think they'll probably stay in your pockets or wherever they go.
And I have to say, one of the, I know this is an entirely superficial thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I love the design of the flyers. If listeners out and about have seen it, it's the one of the dapper gent boxing with a kangaroo. Where's the image from?
Yeah, the image comes from our designer, Agata, who works down in Brighton. I think she was actually involved in one of the early read-throughs a couple of years ago, so she knew the story well, and I think she just worked really hard. I'm not sure how much of the image is from her own pen, but she was the one who thought, that is the image we want. We don't actually box any kangaroos on stage, I'll be happy to say, but kind of sums it up. It's that kind of old style, lovely kind of muted outback colours, and it screams something to do with Australia and sport as well, so we think it's, yeah, we're really happy with it.
And if you were Burke and Wills, which one would you be?
I think I'd opt to be neither. I think that had a bit of a tragic end.
So. You'd be king who came home.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, don't you know your history better than I do?
I love Innamenka. I've been out there a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah. Another interesting thing about the development of it. I, at one stage, about 6 months ago, we got a very surprising email from the legal department of the International Olympic Committee. They'd somehow got wind of the show, and I'm not even sure how, but they told us in no uncertain terms that we were not allowed to use the O word in any publicity anywhere in the show. So I see that you're looking slightly.
It's now hit me that you guys have managed to convey Olympic without ever actually using the word. Yeah. The Outback Games, new musical, the games that weren't supposed to happen. There you go.
Yeah, there we go. It's been difficult because we always wanted to say the O word. I can't even say it now, but I'm sure I could. So we had an O box. So
it's fine. Our listener is not litigious. He's a very nice guy.
Don't put ideas into his head. We had the equivalent of a swear box. If anyone said the O word, they had to pop a pound in there. But we've got a few quid to spend on pints.
All right. And when audiences have seen the Outback Games, what should they see next?
Yeah, really interesting. There is another show, another couple of Australian shows. There seem to be loads of Australian stand-up comedians. Several of them are called Nick as well. I don't know what's going on. It must be the year of the Aussie Nick. I really loved, I don't know if you've seen it, The Voyage of the Narwhal. Fabulous show, just a three-hander, which is very, very funny.
Nick Mann, thank you very much for talking to Fringe Review.
Thanks, Dan. Great to talk to you.